I have said to you many, many times that in the age that follows the return of Christ, there are going to be many wonderful things take place. Remember, when the Savior comes again, he is going to take up the government of this world. It's going to come into his hands directly. Now, God is in control. We know that. But it pleases God in this age to permit men, and indeed to permit the devil, a degree of freedom to do as they like. He calls upon them to obey him, of course, but man is inclined to disobey God. And God does not immediately and directly respond to that disobedience. For instance, just over the weekend, there was a vile character who was asked the question, because he's an atheist, what are you going to say to God when you meet him? Now the answer an atheist should have given to that question was, since there is no God, there can never be such a meeting, so I have no answer. But significantly enough, this so-called atheist, a foul, evil, wicked man, gave vent to a tirade against God, calling God some very evil things. That man wasn't smitten down, though I have to confess that I would have shouted hallelujah if God had have smitten him down to death. So vile were the things that he said, and said on television so that millions heard him, and has been reported in newspapers since so that millions and millions more have heard his vile outburst. Yet God permitted him to say that. It's like when the Savior was on trial. Do you remember what the soldiers did? How they plaited the crown of thorns and they thrust it down upon his brow, and how they beat him, and how there were those during the Sanhedrin's interrogation smote him on the face and mocked him, and yet he did nothing. He did nothing. He could have done something. He could have in a moment dashed every one of them down to hell, but he did nothing. Now, permitting them to do that does not in the least indicate that God is not in control. He is. But the control that God exercises over this world and wicked men today includes the freedom to act in the fashion that I have just described. But there's a day coming when the Lord Jesus Christ will assume the rulership of this world, and men will not enjoy that freedom to defy God as they do today. So there's great changes, boys and girls, coming to this world. And God has given us a revelation in his word of what those changes will be. Some of them he has given us quite a bit of a description, and others there's just a little note in passing. And if you're not careful, you would miss the little reference and not see that here is another thing that's going to take place when the Lord Jesus rules the world. So what I'm saying is that it's almost an impossible task for anyone to go into all that's going to happen when the Lord Jesus comes again. We can but suggest things to you, and I hope that you will, in your own time, and as the years roll on, I hope that you will return to this study again and again, and again, and again, and build up your knowledge. Some of you who are in secondary school doubtless began to carry folders with you in which your studies on various subjects are contained. And when you started secondary school, maybe those folders were all nicely labelled and all the rest of it, but empty. You had nothing in them. But I hope as the years go by, the folders got fatter and fatter and fatter as you studied more, took more notes, and added to your knowledge. It's as well your head is not like that folder, otherwise it would be bulging out at the sides. But your head, wonderfully and fearfully made, is able to receive that knowledge and hold on to it without bursting. Well, at least I hope some of you are holding on to what you hear. And I don't see any burst heads, so that hasn't happened as yet. Now, today we're coming to the last chapter of the book of Isaiah. I've said to you many times that Isaiah is a prophet who deals very much with the future of the Jews. It was given to him to prophesy what God had planned for his beloved ancient people. Even though they would treat him as they have, most wickedly, now for some 2,000 years, they have turned their back upon him, rejected him. Indeed, they won't even take the name of their Savior upon their lips. They don't see him as Savior, they don't see him as Messiah. But as Isaiah and many of the other prophets indicate, there's a day that's all going to change. And the change will come when Jesus returns. We're going to read from the verse 12 of Isaiah chapter 66. So please turn to it. And I'm going to try very, 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 very hard to get this passage dealt with today. Verse 12. The first thing we're going to notice is the comforts that God is going to bestow upon Jerusalem and upon Israel. And I want you to notice the language that is employed, because it indicates the tender love that God has still for that ancient people, even though they have treated him as they have. There's a tender love in God's heart for Israel. Verse 12. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees, as the one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. Now, you know that the terminology that's employed here, it's of that of a little baby being nursed and cared for, spoken of as born upon her sides. I've seen some of the older girls carrying a younger member of the family. And one of the handiest ways of carrying a little one is how? Setting the little one on your hip. The girls are very good at it. And they just cause their hip to sit out a little bit, set the baby on it, legs either side, and there they are. And they walk about and baby's sitting there quite comfortable. And God says, that's what I'll do with Israel. Dandle her upon my knee. Well, that's what old grandas do a lot. Much maybe to the annoyance of little ones. They like to get them up on his knee and look at them and smile on them and hold them tight as they wriggle very hard to get down and get away to freedom and the things they were doing. These are the terms God's using. Doesn't it show his love for Israel? This is what God's plan is for Israel. This is what he's going to do. And Israel, under this care, I want you to notice, will prosper. Verse 14, when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants. There's a growing. Bones prospering like a herb. Like a little plant that you put in your garden, and it just grows up almost overnight. And Israel's going to become strong. Like a baby, well cared for. This shows to us God's plan. The tenderness of it. The preciousness of it. And let me tell you, when God, as Father to Israel, plans these things, they're going to happen. Nothing's going to frustrate God's plans. Let me show you something else. The time when this is going to happen. Please, when you're looking at, well, God's word in any context, but particularly when you're looking at prophecy, always look for some indication of when the events God's speaking of will take place. Have we any indication here of when it is Israel is going to be taken up, as it were, upon the Father's knee and looked after and cared for? Oh, yes, there is. Look at verse 15. For, behold, this is when it's going to happen. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by a sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Well, there's only one day that's spoken of here. Fire, chariots, sword, the slain of the Lord, pleading with all flesh. This is Christ's return. Oh, for Israel it's going to be a day when the Father will lift the nation that remains, that has escaped the hands of wicked men. God's going to lift up the remnant and nourish and nurture that remnant. But the wicked, those who hate God, they're going to encounter God's judgment on that day. It's a day, furthermore, not only of judgment, of fiery indignation. The day of Christ is going to be a day of revelation. Verse 18, for I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. See my glory. There'll be no atheists in that day mouthing off against God, like that vile beast that I mentioned at the beginning of our talk today. No, they're going to see. The world is going to see the glory of the Lord. Think of that. The world is going to see the glory of the Lord. It's impossible to describe, but here it is. They shall see my glory. It's a day of ingathering. You know, boys and girls, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, yes, he's going to come in judgment against the wicked and those who banded themselves together in support of Antichrist. But you know, it's also going to be a day of great mercy for the nations of the world. The day of Christ is going to be a day of revival. Now, I know people have grown up with the notion that when Jesus comes again, judgment. That's it. The saved are into heaven and everyone else into hell. But that is not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches. When Jesus Christ comes again, yes, there will be those cut off in judgment. Those who have banded themselves together against the Lord in sympathy with and support of the Antichrist. But there will be many nations who will not have joined Antichrist. And indeed there will be those among the nations that did support Antichrist who will still remain. And to them, mercy will be extended. I say that, and now I show you where it is stated here in this passage, though there's hundreds of other passages. But here it is in this passage. 19, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith the Lord. As the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of the Lord. Those of Israel who escaped the persecution of Antichrist are going to be given a task by God when the Savior comes again. He's going to send them out as witnesses. And they're going to go to the far-flung corners of the earth, to those nations that, verse 19, have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. The Jews are going to become missionaries. And they're going to be sent by him to proclaim the gospel to those nations in the earth that remain in darkness and are in darkness when Christ comes again. Look at the verse 21, and you will see that the Lord is going to re-establish order in Israel. He's going to reconstruct the nation as it was always his intention for the nation to be. Verse 21, and I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. Verse 23, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. So, the Jew sent out into the world with the message of salvation, to tell the world of the glory of Christ, who is now reigning at Jerusalem, and encourage the nations to come to Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem, the Jew will be carrying out the ancient duties given to him, but which he utterly failed to really carry out in the Old Testament age, but is now going to be carrying out under the direct supervision of the Lord. And we see the Levites and the priests are all re-established and carrying out their duties, verse 21. And we see that the worship of the Lord is going to be in accordance with the Old Testament order. Verse 23, new moon, new Sabbath, as it was intended, but which Israel utterly failed to carry out, is going to be carried out. It's going to be carried out according to the word of God. We can't get round this. We can't get round this. Verse 24, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Men will see evidence of God's judgment. There will be the evidence of the mortal remains of the army of Antichrist smitten down by God. And those in Jerusalem who come to worship the Lord will also see that. They'll see the evidence of God's wrath. You know, boys and girls, in the gospel, there are two elements. The element of God's love and mercy set forth in Christ dying to save sinners. But there's another element. It is that of God's judgment upon sin. God wants us to look upon both of those truths. Oh, that you might give thought to the fact that there is a God of judgment, and that one day, if you're not saved, you will have to meet with him. I'll just close with one more consideration. It's found in verse 22, and that is the absolute certainty that these things will come to pass. Men may challenge what I have said, as it has been challenged when better men before me have said. Men may challenge it. Look at what verse 22 says. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. The new heavens and the new earth are going to remain forever, forever. And the Lord is telling us here, just as the new heavens and the new earth are everlasting, so remains before me your seed and your name. That's a promise to Israel. Let men say what they like about Israel and its future. Let them dismiss any restoration of the nation. I'm depending on what God says. And God will never, never, never forget Israel, nor the plans that he has made for that ancient people. And it's our privilege to look into those plans, look as it were over the shoulder of God, and see what it is he has planned for his ancient people in that glorious time. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow together. Lord, do write your word upon the hearts of the boys and the girls, and grip their hearts, Lord, please, with these truths, so that they find themselves drawn again and again and again to the study of God's word. Answer prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.